Okay, I've had a blog talk drop on my radio show here, and I lost Danyon Brinkley. Danyon, if you hear me, please call back in at 646. I'm sorry, call in at 213-286-6743. If anybody's out there listening that can get a hold of Danyon to call back in, Blog Talk dropped me and I'm trying to get relinked here. I don't know if he's talking and I lost him, and I'm trying desperately to get him in here. Please help somebody. If you can hear me, I am seeking your help. All right, Danyon. I am trying to connect with you.
Hello?
God bless you, Danyon. I don't know what spirits are working today, but we got completely cut off. So here
it
I
said,
am.
It said thank you for using Blog Talk Radio.
I know, and it completely cut both of us off, and I'm scrambling here going, what in the happened? So God bless you.
Well,
we were talking about
hell, so, you know.
No, what you were talking about when we were so rudely interrupted by the dropout was your foundation, the Twilight Brigade, and all the medical research and information and speaking before Congress and changing the bylaws and the lines and the guidelines of how our administration and our institutions are creating health care for us. And I find that this is just phenomenal.
The other thing, too, we were talking about was hell.
Yeah, let's talk about hell. Go ahead.
And remember this, Lisa. I am a avid reader and studier, okay? Because
okay.
If anybody listens to modern day fundamentalist hell, you know,
yes,
what we hear and what you better do and why you better do it, blah 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 blah.
Theory.
Well, think about this. It's mentioned 8 times, okay? And most of the times it's about a trash dump outside of Gethsemane. But if you take a look at what everybody says, I think it was Clement II, in around 1315 or 1320, I think it's 1357, Clement read Dante's Inferno.
Mm-hmm.
And from that day on, the description of hell changed completely. It was a lake of fire. Okay, before, and that was why, because everybody knows that methane in a trash dump catches on fire and burns. That's where the revelation of John, when he talks about casting Satan and the fallen in the lake of fire, it's a follow-up on that. But when you look at it from what we now call hell, it comes from Dante's Inferno, and the Pope wrote it into reality. And now today when you hear about eternal damning and ripping of your flesh and torn and tortured, I mean, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. If anybody's ever had a near-death experience, do they think they're taking this body anywhere with them? That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. And if you look at quantum mechanics, there is no way to separate, and hell is in the center of the earth because it's molten lava, and up is in heaven. So think about all of that. None of that makes any sense in today's modern science. So to think that there could be a fallen angel, and that fallen angel, which I probably believe was extraterrestrial, all the stories that come, especially when you look at the Bhagavad Gita and the stories of the oldest written language, the Sanskrit. When you look at that, you begin to look at another dimensional reality. But
right,
when people get caught up in this hellish stuff, forget all that. That was read Dante's Inferno, and you will find out exactly where all that stuff came from. And
right,
yet there are levels of consciousness. And what Kat and I wrote in Secrets was the levels of consciousness. People trap themselves in the blue-gray place, Lisa. I mean, selfishness and bitterness and resentment and unforgivingness. And you have to look at this. Here's what's really important. If you look at modern-day American business,
okay,
and you look at godless capitalism, what's happening now with the giant banks, too big to fail, all that stuff, nobody goes to jail. Nobody. They catch them red-handed, but no one goes to jail. They pay a $13 billion fine for robbing people of the value of their homes, but no one goes to jail. So what are we creating?
Right.
If you look at the most successful businessmen in the American economic system, they are sociopaths.
Yes.
We raise our children to become successful sociopaths. Me.
That's true. It's true. It's a very entitled generation coming up. You know, there's a
sociopaths.
Yeah.
Look. And when you stop to look at that, that goes to tell us, hey, everybody. I mean, we're fighting wars over control, not over helping women in abusive societies. Who did we ever help in Afghanistan? We open up a school, they shut it down. Women being mutilated, sexual mutilation, rape. I condemn America for it not standing up for women and protecting women and educating women. And I would not do business with anyone that held. I mean, we have civil rights problems, but there's a place about where women, the creators and the procreators, the goodness and the godliness of the universe, that we as a nation, we should fight the whole world so that women are protected, so that they get a chance to be educated, they get a chance to be in business, and that I would send an army to protect women. And when rape is an act of war, Lisa, when that becomes a conscious act of war, not that it just happens in war, but an act of war, whoever is doing that should become an enemy of the United States. And at that point, we rise above money, paper, control, wealth. I've never seen a U-Haul on the back of any Hearst.
That's right. You can't take it with you, you know, and there's a point where we all have to come from in the greater good, and that's what you're talking about, the greater picture, the bigger picture.
The near-death experience has equated that. If you look at the near-death experience, it is a part of mainstream Americana. And if you look at the research, I mean, if you look at the research about this last study, 2,000 people in 5 countries, 40% resuscitated, have stories like ours.
Right, I know, and they're afraid. They're afraid to tell anybody because they're going to think that they're crazy, and or they're, you know, it's a very personal thing because it's not only that you just go through this experience, but it changes you. It changes how you look at things. It changes how you feel about things. It increases your empathy and your compassion and your intuition, and it changes who you are. I believe it brings out the better version of who you are. So if you embrace,
I agree.
It's that gift.
Yeah, I mean, and it happens medically. You know, this is the point. Whose fault is it? Science's fault. All right, so the greatest disbelievers in spirituality, the medical world, are the ones facilitating us coming back. So the only persons that they can blame is their ability to understand the body and the chemical compositions of the body, not the spiritual concept that's adapted to it. I mean, whose fault is it? Their fault. And they got to rationalize that it doesn't happen because it means they have to change their entire approach from a pharmacological aspect to a whole body aspect, and that there is a mind greater than the occupation of just in the brain. I mean, you know that, and I know it.
Right, right. And that's the piece that's so beautiful that we see more and more of today, where science and spirituality are starting to become more woven with quantum physics and like people like Greg Braden and the scientific minds that actually can start to bring in a little bit of a spark to validate what you've been saying. You know, it's like you're bringing this proof as, hey, I've been there, and now science is actually validating that on a different level. And I really find that is a beautiful threshold that we're starting to walk through.
I agree. And me, I'm just a guy from South Carolina, a redneck hillbilly prick that had this happen to me. I don't really care what, and this is what was always about Raymond and I. I didn't care what people thought. I never did. I don't really care what people think. I don't care. If you think that it didn't happen, good. I'm going to win the argument. One day, fool, you're going to know I was right. Okay? And the problem is it's going to be too late. I just need people to think about why they do what they do. Not what they're doing,
right,
but why are they doing it?
Right.
Because that's the point. It's intent.
Yes. Yes, it is. And if they can have that awareness, everything could shift. It's a simple awareness.
Well, we would not be sociopaths.
Right.
We would look at fairness and spiritualistic capitalism. How can I amass X amount for my family? Okay.
Right.
And then how can I take after that and reach out into community? We have spent $6.6 trillion in war in the last 10 years. That means we could have fed every child on the earth. And
wow.
Yet we go to war. $6.6 trillion.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
And
I don't understand the logic, and I don't understand the greed, but it's also, you know, the powers that be for our country are, you know, coming
evil.
From a place of fear. There's a lot of fear that is generated in our country.
But
and
it's created that. You know, look at ISIL, the great
yes.
Islamic caliphate. They have American weapons. They're driving UN vehicles.
Right.
They are created
yeah.
by us.
I
we
know.
We created
it. It's unbelievable
same,
to me that we're in this position. It really is. To
we created it, and we're stupid enough to fall for it because we think it threatens. And so every so often what we need is a terrorist threat, you know, a terrorist threat. And then they start getting you used to, in the name of your safety. It's the same things the Germans did in 1932. And
right.
the Germans even had homeland security. Homeland security. It was what the Germans called their Patriots Act. And if you read the German 1932-33 German homeland security, I mean, it was pointed toward Jews in a large regard because they were the bankers. But if you look at if you go and look at the English translation of the German Homeland Security Act, 1933,
okay.
it's the
okay.
same as ours. They like just took it off the shelf and dusted it off. And if
oh,
you
that's...
look at this,
that's scary.
It's true. I read them both.
I mean, that's a scary reality. You know, because we are looking at our country as a changing country. And I remember back in the 70s, my father, who also was a World War II vet, and he said to me, there will be a day in your lifetime where you are completely controlled by the insurance company. And here we are.
Well, it's called affordable health care. It's nothing but insurance and pharmaceutical companies. And what will you not do to protect your parents, yourself, your children, and your grandchildren? You're done. And you will be
yeah.
a part of a database, and they can dictate what you get and what you don't. And all of a sudden, instead of taking, and now they're allowing doctors to ask you if you own weapons.
Oh, you are
and
kidding me.
No, it's now Now it's part of their protocol. And they have to, not only does that happen, at 50 years old, you begin to design your death. Now they're going to, it'll come out next year. You will have to, the doctor will have a chart about what your illnesses are, what's treatable and what's not treatable, and the system will put you in palliative care. There will be no extreme efforts to save a person. You know, now we have all these chemotherapies and people want to keep their parents alive or their children alive. That's not going to happen.
Wow.
We have,
that's an amazing turnabout in our country. I mean,
It's over.
So, okay,
it's over.
So.
And you can read it. I mean, you know, everybody sits around, and I don't understand it. You went to school to learn English, and then you went to school to learn how to read it. And once you read it, and I am notorious for it, once you read it and you see it in black and white in the specifications of the healthcare plan, it's no big secret. You can go and you can look it up and you can read the thing. It's 1,100 or 1,200, 1,300 pages, and then 10,000 pages of regulations, and most of them are still being written because January the 1st, what's called the Cadillac programs, the programs where General Motors and unions and municipal workers, their programs disappear. And if you signed up for affordable health care last year, you got to re-sign up again or you lose your benefits, okay?
Right.
And so when Cadillac programs disappear, you know, you can't keep your own doctor, this is what you do, you're in retirement, that's going to be doing. I just took Catherine's grandmother, the kid's grandmother, Catherine's mom. We took her to the doctor because she's 86 years old. And I was sitting there watching it. What hospital we had to take, she has a Cadillac program because she worked for a big oil company, and what hospital we had to take her to because of her cardiologist. The hospital across the street would not take her health care.
Yeah.
And we had to drive 40 miles to take her to a hospital that would take her health care. And I'm just, and I said, I don't care where it is. Get in the car, Shirley. I'll take her. And I told Kenneth, don't worry about it. I'll do it. And they went in and stopped her heart and recalibrated it and started it again. And I drove back 20 miles there and 20 miles back. And this is a Kaiser program, Kaiser Permanente, that the hospital across the street from the cardiologist wouldn't accept it. So I talked to the doctor. I said, let me ask you something. What's the deal? He said they charge too much for these kind of programs. I said, so it's about you making money as opposed to taking care of the patient. He said, you know, you're too smart.
Yeah.
I said, well, ain't life a bitch?
You know, it's a shame when you're in a situation and you've done everything right and you're still having to drive an hour or an hour and a half to a hospital or a doctor to find someone to treat you.
And
you
she's
know,
in AFib.
She's in AFib.
Her heart is out of, the lower part is out of sync with the upper part. Her pulse was 157.
Oh, my goodness.
Pulse, 157.
And they made you drive.
No, they didn't make me do anything. But I cared more about her, and I understand it. People are going to, this is what's, you watch this next 2 years. This next 2 years are going to, and are going to be unbelievable what we're going to face. I mean, and I'm telling everybody, hey, everybody, I wrote this 20 years ago. 20 years ago about what happened in 1975. You will be at world peace, and you individually and in your own heart will have to decide. There is no movement except for war. I mean, the President of the United States, who came into office to get us out of war, is now trying to fund another war. They need to get rid of Assad, and they're going to create a caliphate necessary to get rid of Assad, because then you control, if the Middle East crumbles, and if the President of the United States makes a deal with Iran, then that means that the United States breaks its word to protect Saudi Arabia, and then the Saudis will fall, and that's what they see. So the Saudis are making deals with the Russians and with the Chinese and the Indians for their oil. And here we go.
Yep. I mean, here we go.
But here's the most part about this. Here's the greatest part. It gives us a chance to wise up, Lisa.
Okay.
I didn't mind driving Shirley, but I didn't have a problem driving her. Didn't bother me a bit. But as more people are having forced to do this, the stronger I think we as people will become. It is contrived. They're going
right.
And Shirley is the first casualty of the new spiritual war. Okay. And that it's going to be about greed and money, as opposed to, instead of spiritual passion and compassion.
Oh boy! So, what do you foresee more changes, control by the government and control about our institutions over the next 2 years, in addition to the possibility of a world war or world peace?
Well, I think we'll win. You know,
okay,
we were all
good.
Born at night, but it wasn't last night.
Right.
And as people start to look at this, and when you start messing with my children, and you start messing with my grandchildren, and you start messing with my mother, screw
mm-hmm.
you.
Right.
And health care is the issue. It's not oil. There's two things I always tell people. Number one, you better take better care of yourself. And number two, you better be willing to fight to defend your children and your parents and yourself. Because 1/6 of the American economy is health care. And when you control that and you have all your information, then you're back on the plantation. And second, the Great War will be fought over water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been afraid of that myself.
Nestle, just the president and CEO of Nestle's, said that water should not be a free, accessible commodity.
Oh, wow.
And now they're draining the Great Lakes. Think of this. The Chinese are running out of water. So they send oil tankers to the Great Lakes, fill them up with water, take them back, reverse osmosis, and that's what they're drinking. Brazil.
No kidding? Oh,
yeah,
my goodness. This is where we are today. And this
it's
going to
be about water. Yeah, I think it's exciting. I wouldn't have missed this. Now, listen, every day I wake up and open my eyes and realize I'm still here, and I get excited. Like when you said, how are you doing? I said, I'm happy and filled with joy. Who would want to miss the end of time?
Well, what is your prediction? You have what's your thoughts on this? How are we going to win? How's it going to look in the next few?
Well, the next few years will be terrible. We will watch the unfoldment, the unraveling of the United States of America, and we will see. But people will rise up. People will rise up. We are militarizing our police forces.
Yeah,
okay?
Right.
We're militarizing it. And now we're making it racial about this Ferguson and this New York thing. Okay, it becomes necessary to create a way to divide the American people, to divide them. And race has always been one, because we were a slavery nation. But it didn't work. People are walking. The Ferguson situation, I agree with not I agree with not indicting that police officer, but I think the police officer should be indicted and the trial be held and the witnesses put on the stand, because they would have come to the same conclusion that this kid had robbed a grocery store and a strong-armed, here's a little 5'9 police officer, 165 or 70 pounds, against a 6'5", 400-pound or 380-pound kid. If you look at the shots, you see these shots were random. I'm a combat veteran. I understand by looking at where the shots hit that the kid was moving on to the police officer. And then this thing in New York, this guy should be indicted for murder. The guy who choked and strangled the guy for selling cigarettes, he should be indicted and tried for murder. And if you look at the video, he is strangling this guy. This is murder. Okay? And if he's not going to be indicted, put his butt on trial. Let all of us see it, because I see these actions as ways to polarize the American public. They use racism. They're using racism because we have too much homogeneous nature, and there is a disparity between the color of people's skin. That's everywhere, because there's racists everywhere, and there's prejudice, bigotry, and bias everywhere.
So if
you use that, you can militarize and create a fear-based reality based on that some black people are going to burn down your house, some white people are going to burn down your house, looting. We have to put up armed guards. We have to create curfews.
Right.
You know, my biggest complaint, Lisa, is this. We can house and give amnesty to people illegally crossing our border, but we can't give amnesty and house veterans.
I agree. I think it's absolutely insane. I do not understand how we do not take care of our veterans better. I do not understand that about our country. It's something that has deteriorated each war, and it seems like there's...
We're now killing them.
It's unbelievable.
44% of all homeless are veterans, and 14% of that 44% are female combat veterans.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, when you are capable of letting that happen...
Right.
When you're capable of letting that happen and you are an elected representative and you get up every morning and you go in and you know this as a fact, America, you have gone crazy.
That's right. It has gone crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You got a female.
There's not a priority on the values in taking care of or having any element of empathy, compassionate care, taking care of your fellow man. I mean, these are the values and virtues that, you know, we thought America was built upon. And we see now that there's so much that there's suffering everywhere. I mean, we are a country that is angry because we're steeped in fear and insecurity and an inconsistency, not only in our economy, but in every institution that we supposedly have held sacred. Your work is immeasurable. What you have done, what you are doing, what you continue to do, your voice, your power, your strength. I am just so blessed and honored to have had this opportunity to speak with you today, Danyon. It's really, really been a pleasure.
I would love to
have you come on and talk at any point, whenever you'd like to chat. So please do keep in touch.
We have a new book called 10 Things to Know Before You Go, and it's like Aspire to Inspire Before You Expire.
Oh, awesome. So, wonderful. Let's talk about it.
As soon as it comes out, I'll get Kat to make sure you're on that list.
Oh, God bless you, Daniel. That will be a great, great talk. I look so forward to talking to you again. You really, really are such a light for me. And I know for the audience and for everyone who is hearing you today and archiving you throughout. So I just look forward to talking to you again. And your beautiful wife, I felt such a soul connection with her, corresponding back and forth with the emails. What a lovely light she is. I just really value both of you so much and so deeply in all of your work and what you do. And God bless you for these holidays and have a wonderful new year. And
to everybody out there listening, I love you very much, and happy holidays, and may they be filled with joy, happiness, and fun, and save your water.
Yes, save your water and take better care of ourselves, right?
Agreed. All right, thank you,
Lee. And everybody, you can reach Danyon at www.danyon.com. It's DANNION.com. And Danyon, God bless you and your beautiful wife. Thank you so much for being my guest today. I look forward to chatting again. God bless
you
and Merry Christmas.
Same to you. Bye.
Bye, Danyon. Thank you.